I guess our first verse we're going to look at is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So we're going to look at four different verses and one phrase in four different verses in the Bible. And I just want to kind of get you to think about it. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I'm not going to read the whole area of it, but let's go to verse 29. It says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then if you were to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we will start with verse 20. "And when they had, when they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" And then if you will turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 29, Psalm 29, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, Psalm 29 and verse 1, he says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then finally in Psalm 96, Psalm 96, in Psalm 96 and verse 1, we'll read, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him. Fear before him all the earth." Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us, and I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. And as we consider these words, the beauty of holiness, that we would learn something today, or remember something maybe that we need to remember. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to see the truth of your Word, and Lord, apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that term, that phrase, the beauty of holiness, shows up four times in the Bible. Three of those times it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then the other time in 2 Chronicles, they were ordained, those people were ordained to sing and to praise the beauty of holiness. So you see two things. You see the application of the beauty of holiness in worship, And then you see the exaltation or praise of the beauty of holiness. You know, we talked about holiness quite a bit today as we went through the thing. And I'm afraid that one of the problems we have with holiness is it just isn't appealing to us. It isn't beautiful. It isn't beautiful as it ought to be. Holiness is something beautiful. And, you know, the Bible says about heaven and the things that are to come. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But then He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And if you are going to see the beauty of holiness, if holiness is going to be appealing to you and beautiful to you, it's got to come not from just your eyes. It's got to come deeper. It's got to come from the heart. It's a spiritual thing to see this, to be able to see beyond what you can see with your eyes. You know, if you want to, if you only rely upon your eyes, you're going to be in trouble, because the Bible warns us in the book of 2 Corinthians, it warns us that even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Sin oftentimes seems beautiful. The Bible told about, in the book of Hebrews, it talked about people who are willing to suffer, Moses, who was willing to suffer reproach with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin often seems pleasurable and beauty does not, because sin appeals to the flesh and beauty, and holiness appeals to the spirit. And you've got to be able to see by it. By the way, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, what do we have? When Satan tried to, when he began to tempt Eve, right? He did not tempt her with truth in the sense of a spiritual truth. God had already made a decree that the day they ate thereof, they would die. And Satan said, no, God's lying to you. And the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food. It was edible. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was pretty. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. It was, could make me like God. I could decide what's right and wrong. Right? And so he appealed to her that way. And so often holiness, we don't see holiness for what it is. We don't see the beauty in it. We see the beauty in things that our eyes see. And the reality is, we should see, if anybody should see the beauty of holiness, it's us. It's those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, if you're not saved, I can understand why the things of God aren't beautiful to you. I can understand why the things of God are scary to you. I can understand why the world has more attraction than the things of God. But if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you and I, we ought to see beauty in holiness. It ought to be a pretty thing, a beautiful thing. You know, when the world sees a person, for example, just to give you an example of something, when the world sees a young man or a young woman who are modestly dressed, right? What do they say about them? Well, they're backwards. Well, they're old-fashioned. They're a stick in the mud. Right? They're not with it. They're not fashionable. They're not beauty. But if you, as a Christian, see a young man or a young woman that are modestly apparelled, modestly dressed, that ought to be a wonderful thing for you because they're obeying God. That ought to be something you say, yeah, that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As a man, it is a blessing to me to see women, and men for that matter, but women modestly dressed. It's a blessing to me. It's something that's beautiful. That's just one aspect of it, but that's just, I'm just simply saying, we ought to see things differently. I'm just using that as an example. One thing that we ought to see something differently than the world does. We ought to see everything ought to be differently. But what I'm saying is holiness, godliness, decency, honesty, truth, all of these things that come out, they should be beautiful things to us. We see somebody standing up for righteousness' sake. That's a beautiful thing. But too often, even the people in the churches don't see it that way, do they? But notice what he said. Three times he said, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." But I've actually been talking about the first one, haven't I? They were to praise the beauty of holiness. When we see that which is what God commands being played out in the world, that's something we should praise. That's something that we should be unashamedly telling the world that this is good and this is right. This is beautiful. I mentioned this morning a lot of a lot of people get ugly about the Pentecostal holiness people. And look, if you're doing these things in order to get yourself to heaven, yeah, it's wrong. It's nothing more than self-righteousness. But if they are honestly, earnestly have these standards out of love and respect for the Lord and wanting to do His will, then hallelujah! It's not something to... Just because we're not saved by our works doesn't mean that good works are not a wonderful thing to behold. They are. They are a wonderful thing to behold. To see people that want to please God is a wonderful thing. And it's really a sad thing that we have other religions in the world that are more modest than Bible believers sometimes. I'm not talking about everybody running around wearing a hijab or wearing a burqa or something like that. I'm just talking about modest apparel, modest behavior. That's a sad thing. But the reality is not just that. Like I said, that's just one thing. What about honesty? What about truth? What about decency? What about kindness? What about all the things that the Bible says are the fruit of the Spirit? The things that we are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, faith. Right? The things which against such there is no law. There's no law saying don't be kind. There's no law saying don't have joy. There's no law saying don't praise God. There's no law saying, not at least God's law. Man might put these laws out, but they're not God's laws. But holiness, worshiping who God is. We ought to be the ones that praise the beauty of holiness. We ought to be the ones that are vocal about the fact that something is good and right and holy and just. We ought to want to see holiness. You wonder sometimes if so many of the people who name the name of Christ are going to be bored when they get to heaven, because it's just going to be all of this holiness around. But if you're saved, you ought to be able to see with spiritual eyes. You ought to be able to see beyond the lies of the world. You ought to see what's right and what's good and what's decent. And you ought to be able to look at it and say, hey, that's beautiful. That's of God. That's holy. That's beautiful. We ought to be the ones that praise the beauty of holiness. But once again, and let's not get past this, and let's not go just discount it, because three times he said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Notice what he says in Psalm 96. He says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, we talked about this morning. We were told that we are, as He which has called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation and all your lifestyle. And He says, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Right? Saith the Lord. Well, what does it mean to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? What does it mean? How can I be holy? How can I be holy? Well, obviously, the only one that can make me holy is God, right? And that's what salvation comes. Saint, to become a saint of God means to become one of God's sanctified ones, one of God's holy ones. Right? And so, this is the thing. We're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, we understand the reality of our life is we have a battle between the flesh and spirit, and we're supposed to learn to yield to the spirit, to yield to that which, by the way, instead of yielding to that which is sinful, yield to that which is holy. And we ought to get to the point to where we want to be holy. If you go to the book of Romans chapter 7, if you'll turn over there with me, Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is trying to talk about this. He said in verse 18, verse 14, otherwise, he said, verse 14, he said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, I know the law says is right and good, but I've got a law in my members that fights against me. He says this. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward of man. But I see another man in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You know what he's saying there? He's saying the battle begins in your mind. The battle begins in your heart. If you want to get the outside in check, you've got to get the inside in check. And you know, we came here to do what? We say we came here to worship the Lord, right? And the thing is, we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, the only way I can be holy is through the blood of Jesus, right? And so it's the blood of Jesus that washes away my sin. It's the blood of Jesus. It's His imputed righteousness, His imputed holiness. But there's a practical side of this. I ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How do I do that? Well, first of all, there's obviously an element of faith in that, right? We have to trust God enough to believe that what God says is right. And the idea should be that we come to church ready to worship. That we come to church, you know, we always have invitations at times, right? We have invitations at the end. And it's not a bad thing to do that. It's actually a good thing to have an invitation at the end of a service and invite people, if God spoke to your heart about something that's wrong in your life, come now. God's merciful. Come. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of your need. If you recognize this issue in yourself, like Paul was saying, oh, wretched man that I am. If you recognize that, then come by all means and make it right. Confess. And He's faithful and just. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if we're going to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, ought we not do that before we get here? Wouldn't the ideal be that when we came here, we had already spent time with God and already been in the Word of God and already had God had a hold of our mind, and our mind was already trained to see that which is wrong in us, and we were able to see and understand this thing, and we were to say, you know what, I'm going to worship the Lord. I need to be ready to worship the Lord. I need to have my heart open. I need to get ready to worship God. I need to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Do you want your church to be a school or a beauty shop? You know, I may be wrong about this, but I don't assume that you ladies get yourself all dolled up just to go to the beauty shop. Maybe you do, I don't know. But if you're going to go to the beauty shop, you don't get yourself all dolled up. And you, because the expectation is you have something lacking and they're going to fix it, right? You know, I need a haircut. Hint, hint, sister. But that was a personal thing. I should put that in there. But anyway, I need a haircut. I need my hairstyle. I need whatever else women do in beauty shops. I don't, you know. But you know, it's just amazing. But people go to beauty shops to get something fixed, or at least patched up or hid or whatever you want to do with it. They do that. And but you know, when you go to school, the idea is to go to school prepper. You know why? This is terrible. Jules, pay attention. Pay attention, Jules. I'm going to help you. All right? Do you know why when you go to school, they send you home with stuff that you have to work on? You know why they do that? Because they're mean. They're just mean. They don't like you. Mm-hmm. Now, why do they do that? Huh? You don't know? Well, I'm going to tell you why. That's good. I'm going to tell you why. You're going to learn something today. They send you home to do the homework so that you can be prepared for what they are going to teach you tomorrow. So that you can be prepared. See, the idea is why I say, do you want this church to be a beauty shop or do you want it to be a school? Alright? Do you want to always come up here and have to get something patched up and fixed up? Or would you like to come and get the most out of the church service? If we're going to do that, we ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, which means we need to deal with things to the very best of our ability long before we ever get here. We got to do the homework. Why? Because it's a preparation to make the church service so much better and so much greater. And a lot of times we put the emphasis on the invitation because, and that's, like I said, not necessarily bad, but the idea, the ultimate point of the invitation is to hopefully, yes, we want Christians to get right with God if they're not right with God, but we want lost sinners to come forward and get saved, don't we? To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we have to do business with God. If there's sin in our lives, we have to confess it and forsake it. And we ought to come with that idea. We ought to come with the idea of worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In other words, get here with your heart right with God, settled with God, settle the issues. Is it possible that you may come with a heart right with God and then learn something else? You say, oh man, I didn't know that. I need to get right with God. Certainly it is. Matter of fact, it's more likely when you come prepared. It's more likely. You know what? In the old days, and I've said this before, but in the older days, I should say, should be still a bit like that, but they used to have revival meetings that went on for weeks and months. And the reasons they had this, and people would be going to church. Think about this, girls. People would go to church every day for weeks. And why did they do that? Why did they have those things? Because there is oftentimes a resistance. And that resistance is because we have lost the ability or the understanding that we need to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We need to be ready and our hearts prepared when we come to gather together to worship the Lord. There has to be something on, there's some homework to be done on us. We have a life to live every day that we're supposed to be walking with God. And what happens is because of that resistance, because we don't do that, there comes a resistance. And a lot, sometimes it takes a long time to get past the resistance to where people have to get exhausted to humble themselves and get right with God. Isn't that a shame? I mean, do you have to be worn out for God to finally get your attention? And people did that. They did that because they knew, they understood. And they wanted to preach and they wanted to see God do some work. But it wouldn't be necessary if God's people would worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If we would just get our hearts right. If there's something wrong between you and the Lord. We talk about communion. You have that passage of Scripture where it says, if any man eat of this bread or drink of this cup unworthily, he's guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And people's like, oh, I don't want to take the Lord's Supper and everything. I'm not right with God. Well, the whole thing he says, but let a man examine himself and let him so eat of this bread and let him drink of this cup. What's the point? Hey, get right with God so you're not afraid. Get right with God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Appropriate the holiness of God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All of it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If all unrighteousness is gone, what's left but holiness? And see, this is not an anti invitation message. This is saying that, hey, we need to do the homework. We need to be a school. We need to be a hospital. We need to be a place where people get fed. We need to be a place where lives change, where people learn. We need to be prepared when we come to worship. Sometimes we let life get in the way of that, don't we? Real easy to do. Now, Jules, why do they give you homework? So you're prepared for the lesson that they want to teach you the next day, right? Now, guess what? We need to be prepared for the lessons that God wants to teach us every time we come here. Doesn't happen if you don't do the homework, does it? You get in school and you hadn't done the homework, you're just lost, aren't you? And the teacher said, well, what's your problem? I don't know. But if you tried to do the homework, at least you could say, well, I did this, but I couldn't figure this out. But if you didn't do the homework, what do you say? What's your problem? All of it. Right? You don't know none of it. You're not prepared. You don't even know what to tell her your problem is. You don't even know what your problem is yourself. You can't learn. So all that ends up is you feel embarrassed, get in trouble. Right? I think a lot of people live their lives with God that way. Like a little child who didn't do the homework. Worship the Lord. We are the ones that ought to be the ones that praise the beauty of holiness. We ought to be the ones that see it clearly and see it what it is and see it and celebrate it and rejoice in it. And above all, we have to be the ones that worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But you cannot do that if you don't do the work that you need to do. If you don't have your relationship with God, if like I've said to you before, if all you get from the Bible is what I preach to you, you are on a starvation diet spiritually. You're starving yourself to death. It's no wonder you're never prepared when you come to church. Wouldn't it be so much better to come knowing that you've gotten everything right that you thought about, that you could think about, and you knew you were right with God, and you came here and that's the way you came, and you were ready to hear the Word of God? And yes, you may hear something else. You might say, oh wow, I didn't know that. I need to... But now that's ignorance. It's not just loading one more thing on the wagon for you to deal with once you leave here, is it? You know, you've read something in the Bible and human nature being what it is, if you don't do your homework, you know, and they keep adding their homework, you got to do that, plus you got to do this now. After a while, it gets too overwhelming, doesn't it? It gets hard. And that's the way we feel like quitting, because there's so much. I think that's sometimes maybe why we quit, because we never deal with the things that God... We never deal with things when God brings them to our attention. We don't come prepared. And I just want to encourage you that this holiness is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Holiness is beautiful. And we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You need to be ready when you get here. That's the way it needs to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service today. Father, You know our hearts and You know what we need. Lord, I pray that especially come Wednesday night and next Sunday that You would help us to remember this message. But Lord, help us to see and desire the beauty of holiness. Help us to see holiness as a wonderful, a magnificent, a beautiful thing. Because it's a part of you. It's part of who you are. Lord, you're beautiful. Help us to love you the way we ought to. Lord, help us to just see holiness and be excited about it, thankful for it. See it for the beauty it is. But above all, Lord, help us to worship you in the beauty of holiness. Help us to get our hearts right with you before we come to worship together. And that we might worship you in the beauty of holiness. We thank you. Pray that as we leave today, you'd keep us safe and bring us safely back together for our next service. Lord, you know the challenges we face. You know the difficulties. Lord, help us to just do the thing that is most needful. Get our hearts right with you and get our minds filled with the Word of God. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.